WWIV, 46 degrees, quarter to six in the morning. And we call it First Thoughts. Jason Cans from jasoncans.com. Doc Cans, good morning.
Good morning.
How was your Labor Day weekend?
Interesting. I was off for 4 days. I did some gardening in the backyard. Felt very accomplished with that. I finished editing this large manuscript I've been working on, 300,000 words, and that was a real sense of, I think just happiness that that was done.
And you printed out, and as your toner salesman, I'm glad to hear you printed out 670 pages.
Yes, I was really glad I had a new toner at home to be able to do that. So I texted our friend Larry Crabb and told him that 66 love letters was a huge inspiration for doing that. And he asked me to if I would be willing to send him a hard copy of it as well. So apparently there will be another 670 pages of it.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Wow. So basically it's like, you know, using that 66 love letters, Crabb's imagined conversation with God through all 66 books of the Bible, and you personalized the whole New Testament as if God was speaking it to you.
Yeah, book by book, verse by verse. So, yeah.
Wow. 300,000 words, huh?
Yep.
Well,
it's a monster.
Yeah. Well, that is, you know, I want to say I'm interested in reading. On the other hand, I'm like, wow, it's quite a big hill to climb, you know? So.
Well, you know, I think the thing is, it doesn't need to be taken, you know, the whole thing. It's not like reading a novel. I've been trying to think it's much more commentary, much more devotional. So I think that as we get into it, or as people get into it, when eventually I get it put out there, it can be taken off in small chunks. So,
yeah.
Well, and then the other thing that happened this weekend is my stepdad had a stroke or a small stroke yesterday, and that was kind of a bit of a shocker too. So he actually got home last night.
Okay.
Kind of cleared up from that, so was grateful for prayers on that.
Now, how old is he?
I think 77.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so
what kind of
he's the one who
had
a brain tumor in January. So yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's kind of jarring, jolting information to get, though. So.
Yeah, it sure was.
Well, I tell you what, that's pretty much, I think we'll keep it on these things today. You wrote a piece called Those People, and maybe at the end of this we'll go back. Let me go back to your piece on the Bible, though. Like, what do you plan to do? I mean, you've had a few books published, so are you going to pursue that or what?
I think so. I think right now I just want to sit on it for a little bit and try and figure out what is next. You know, I published Notes from the Upper Room earlier this year, so I don't feel like I need to put out two books in 2020. There's been enough going on.
But what did you get? How did it deepen your relationship with God, and what would you say to others who would try to do something similar?
Oh, my goodness. I think it has definitely made me feel God more intimately, to know the love of God more personally. You know, I think I've mentioned on here before that kind of the approach that I took was to write through each of the verses, through each of the books of the New Testament, as though God were telling me individually about it, with the understanding that God is relational and that God's primary characteristic is love. And it really, really opened up a lot of the New Testament, and I saw things I don't think I saw before. I felt angry at points and challenged at other points, and it really forced me to come to know Jesus more deeply, to understand how God is presented in the New Testament. It was a huge blessing to work through this project.
And even from a writing standpoint, I mean, are you still committed to the practice of, like, trying to write three pages, kind of emptying your mind right at the beginning of each day?
Yep, I did that this morning, as a matter of fact. So that is something that, again, has become an important habit for me, and I think will continue. I was journaling yesterday about what my next writing projects might be. And I have ideas for things that I want to do. And the question is, what's the next step? I am wanting to do a book proposal to a publisher, and that's a different step altogether. So,
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Good stuff. And tell you what, give us a preview. Tomorrow, you wrote a piece called Those People. So what are we in store for tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's just kind of a response to our tendency to look at other people and say that, you know, to kind of notice the evil and the brokenness in other people, but having to start with ourselves. And I think often it's hard for us to do that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, all right. So Tomorrow, Those People and more with Jason Kanz. First thoughts. Thanks, buddy.
You bet. Talk to
all you right.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So pray for his stepdad as he recovers from that. Again, they called it a somewhat minor stroke, but still, stroke is a stroke. So, all right. Good morning, Caleb.
Good morning.
Labor Day weekend behind us, and it is a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. This happens a couple times a year at least, after Memorial Day and after Labor Day. And let's see, a couple things. It's International Cat Day, so I threw it out to the listeners at 715-396-1670, 396-1670. Who's the biggest cat lover in the WIB listening audience? So make their case in 30 seconds or less
okay. On
the listener line. And it turns out we've got film director John Graham. He is the director of Switched. It's had a few-day run now already at Micon Cinemas, Eau Claire, and Chippewa. He's a huge cat lover.
Okay.
So, in fact, he took in 5 baby kittens, I think, in the not-too-distant past. So he'll check in with us 8:40 this morning. Are you a bigger cat lover than him? Let us know. Well, we usually recap our weekend after 2 days, but we had 3 days to recap. And the highlight, Caleb, for me, actually did involve Hillary's husband, Dean, because he's a mountain bike enthusiast. What do you want to call it? Trail riding or off-road. And So I'd reached out, and he said, sure, he'd be glad to take me. And Michael and Elena joined me, and so we went to Lowe's Creek Park, and it was really good. I'd never done it before.
Yeah.
And no, it's really good. Now, the thing is, you start off on kind of the beginner trails, and Hillary had told me there's kind of a certain section called the whoops, or because you end up going up and down these little hills, and you go, whoo, you know. So
okay.
Anyhow, that was included, but then there was a point in which he threw out the question, now this is kind of the beginner trail, but would you like to do something the next step up? And Elena pretty quickly said, sure. And so, I mean, it just seems, you know, the things, whatever I imagined it to be, you've got the tree roots, going over tree roots.
Yes.
And the narrow turns. Have you done this before?
It's been a long time since I've done anything even close to it, and I didn't go very fast.
The narrow turns and things, sometimes you're like, the bike barely fits through, and then sometimes you're like, you know, going up and down the hills. I mean, it's really a good adventure, good exercise.
Yeah.
And I fell one time. My left handlebar hit a tree, and down I went.
But that's not bad, really.
That was a highlight of the weekend.
All right, there you go. So, yeah, we had extra time. So what all did we do? Played some cornhole over the weekend, had some Johnsonville brats, kind of good Wisconsin activities on a Labor Day weekend. And then yesterday was just kind of a quiet day, mostly at home, and I sort of enjoyed just not doing things I normally would do on a work day. So I slept in. I kid you not. And I didn't sleep real well, so I slept in later. I slept in till like 8 a.m.
Doesn't happen.
I'm not even kidding.
It doesn't happen, right?
Yeah. And then I just kind of leisurely, you know, stayed in bed for a little while and scanned a few football articles because I'm starting to get that bug a little bit.
But, a few days away.
Yeah, it was fun to, you know, do things that I don't normally do during the day. And I'm not any kind of saint, but I was folding clothes for my wife, and you know, there were a couple baskets that needed to be done, and so I was doing that, watching some daytime television, like again some football related talk shows and such, and made lunch for my kids, which I don't normally get to do. And then here's the last thing that we did yesterday. I don't know, I've lived what, since 2009, I've lived in the Chippewa Eau Claire area. I've never been to Lake Wasota State Park in all that time. So we went there and walked some trails and skipped some rocks in Lake Wasota and just had a good time. Finished it off with the Chippewa Candy Shop afterwards.
Quite the park. All right. Very good.
There we go. So that was the long weekend. Is it the end of an era, Halvo?
I gotta wonder.
Can people still sing Happy Birthday anymore?
It's the most popular song.
The most awkward thing is when people are singing happy birthday to you and you don't really know, like, do I make eye contact with anybody?
Yeah, right.
What do I do?
Sure. You're at a restaurant and they're singing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Evidently, A new study, because there's always a proliferation of studies, even in a pandemic year. A new study warns that the song Happy Birthday could spread COVID because of the enunciation of B's and P's. They release large droplets, which may be infectious. This was a real study done by researchers from Sweden. Can you imagine how many times they must have sung Happy Birthday?
Now, I can understand, obviously, Happy Birthday. It's just Happy Birthday to you. You got a B in there. Is there a P in the song?
In the happy, I guess.
Happy, yeah, of course. So, hello. I was focused on the birthday.
I'm just wondering, like, with all these researchers in Sweden who are singing and singing and singing, was there cake and candles at the end every time?
I don't think so.
The researchers had, they had professional singers perform different songs and use high-speed cameras to measure the spread of mouth droplets, a.k.a. your spit. As you can imagine, songs with a lot of consonants, particularly B and P, pose the greatest threat. We always hear about that in radio, our plosives, right?
We can
pop those too much. So,
if singers wear face masks while performing, the worst risks can be mitigated. And again, we'll never be the same. Now, I don't know if the masks will continue ad infinitum into the future. But the point is that we've seen at least enough of this footage of droplets protruding from one's speaking. And so we'll never be the same, right? That's always going to be.
I feel like the more we dig down, we're just opening more and more. We're just realizing, right. Oh, well, that's not safe. That's not safe. And
right.
Anyway, I won't go off into the weeds on there, but you can always find things
UW
to be afraid
Claire,
of.
Speaking of COVID, 69 students testing positive for COVID, 17 on campus, 52 living off campus. None are hospitalized. The dozens of students in quarantine reportedly aren't sick and are not showing symptoms. So, again, this story a little confusing. 69 testing positive, but another 115 students in six residence hall wings have to stay quarantined because they came in close enough contact with those who tested positive for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Imagine that, 2 weeks in your dorm room. It's like, talk about grounded, right?
You better hope that you listen to your mama and keep your dorm room clean, because I know from living in the dorms, there's not a whole lot of space. And I didn't live in UW-Eau Claire, but I mean, out in Ohio,
right.
I mean, we didn't have a lot of room in the dorm room. And so, I mean, you could get stir crazy pretty quickly.
Exactly.
Staying in there.
So I guess take your classes virtually.
Yeah.
That's quite the story coming out of UW-Eau Claire. Well, most of us think our pets say a lot about who we are. We got a couple of dogs, a couple of ferrets, and Caleb, you've got a dog.
A big dog.
A big dog, yeah. Well, it turns out that Scientific American Mind rounded up the smattering of available research and highlighted some of the more interesting findings about pet owners of different types. So here we go. Dog owners are more likely to be in senior management.
Right on.
Go ahead.
Dog owners are more likely to not have a college degree. So
okay.
I guess those two coincide.
To be extroverted and agreeable.
And finally, dog owners are more likely to be in the fields of education, nursing, IT, entertainment, or the military.
How about cat owners? It is International Cat Day, after all. We heard from one cat owner, Linda, as we threw it out to you, who's the biggest cat lover in the WIB listening audience. Cat owners are more likely to live in an apartment.
Change the litter box. Cat owners are more likely to be open to new experiences.
To be college educated.
To be in real estate, a physician, a machine operator, or a personal caretaker.
How about bird owners?
All right.
Any of those out there? They're more likely to be unemployed. I'm sorry. That's just what it says.
That's the findings. Bird owners are more likely to be socially outgoing.
And to describe themselves as polite and caring.
All right. That's what matters.
And something that Caleb will never be, and I don't think I will be either.
Ever.
Snake, lizard, and other cold-blooded exotic pet owners are more likely to be male.
But neither one of us fits that description.
No.
They're more likely to be less agreeable than owners of traditional pets.
To be novelty-seeking.
And to be hardworking and reliable. So there's a positive at the end.
There is.
There you go. What your pet says about you, we'd still love to hear from you if you are a cat lover, cat owner, in this international, Cat Owners Day? Cat
International
Lovers Day?
Cat Day. Well, the movie Switched, debuting in the Chippewa Valley over the weekend. MyCon Chippewa Falls, MyCon Eau Claire. Get your tickets, MyConCinemas.com. We've got the director of the movie on the line with us this morning from California, John K.D. Graham. John, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Doing good. You're talking to Mark and Caleb here on WWIB this morning. So an initial transition point, it's International Cat Day. I thought, how appropriate to talk to you because you love the felines, right?
I do. I grew up with felines living out in New Mexico, and we'd just have a bunch of cats, and if they had a litter, sometimes we'd keep the whole litter. And, you know, we had a lot of property out here, and I recently was out here for quarantine with my mom, and her cat had kittens. And so all of a sudden, we had these kittens that got born underneath my Ford Escape, like up in the, I'd say, fuselage. It's not a plane, but up under, like, the flash guard. So they were, like, inside of my car, if you will. And I knew that was not going to work. They were falling out of the car, so I was, like, putting blankets under there to catch them. And, you know, they were cold and they'd die overnight. So it was quite an experience. And then finally got them all out of there.
Huh.
And unfortunately, the mother passed away, and I became the kitten mom 3 weeks into their lives. And so, like, I'm literally a mama to these cats. It's funny. But there's only two of them now, but I'm here with all of my mom's four cats in the garage hanging out.
Huh.
This is my interview spot, is in the garage of...
Well, speaking of moms, John, I know there's some great mother-to-daughter advice in this movie, Switch, which just premiered here in the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls area and available, again, online, multiple streaming platforms from Google to Amazon Prime, etc. So share a little bit about your heart for this project.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I've always deeply, deeply believed in the idea that we need to love each other and, you know, take care of each other and have grace and... I try to live my life that way. I'm human, so I'm not perfect like we all are, but this movie really wraps around that concept. Ultimately, you know, to love your neighbors yourself. But part of that that's important is you got to love yourself too. I think that humans, at least in Western culture, I think we often forget that if we aren't loving ourselves, and I don't mean narcissistically, like what can I buy myself today and, you know, do I look pretty enough? I don't mean it like that. I mean, you know, like really care for yourself, take care of yourself, you know, check in with yourself and try to give yourself, you know, time to heal and to, you know, to be with God and like to just kind of take care of yourself. You do that and then you can take care of other people too. I think that we forget that. This movie addresses some of that, you know, it addresses many things, but all wrapped around loving each other.
I've seen some of your movies. Catching Faith 1 was shot here in the Chippewa Valley. Catching Faith 2 is in Louisville, like this one. So, obviously, with each opportunity you get a chance to get a little bit better. I mean, do you feel like this is the best movie you've directed so far? And what kind of improvements do you feel like are a part of it?
You know, I think just like having, going back to the mom concept, these are all my babies. So, like, it's hard for me to pick one child over another one. But I do feel like Switch is the most modern feeling of all of them. And I think that it's the most heartfelt of all of them. So I guess in that sense, yes. I mean, obviously we get better every time. The look of this film is incredible. It's beautiful. I personally just really love the message. I think for that reason, it's my favorite one. It's just so important, I think, for us to understand. I think you had another part of your question. I missed it. What was the last part?
Well, just in terms of the ways that it's continued to improve. But I think you answered. Yeah, the message three words, lead with love. I mean, that's the mother's advice to the girl. And that's a great message for all of us. So.
It is. I mean, I think that is the message. I think that's the message that, you know, Christ gave us when he came to visit for a while, lead with love, you know. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. And if any decision you're making is not truly like loving somebody, then you can be pretty sure it's probably the wrong thing, you know. I think that I don't know, it's really important, it's interesting. And I think is this movie also deals a lot with cyberbullying and the idea of the pressure that you can be under online, whether you're famous or not famous, you know. Everyone has their own pressures, and it addresses that, I think, in a way that I don't feel like I've seen too much in other projects. And I know Vanessa Merrill is one of our stars. She's a YouTuber and very well known amongst especially kids. So if you have kids, they might know who Vanessa Merrill is, one of the Merrill twins. But she came in and auditioned, actually. It's like, you know, like we have like open casting calls. And my casting director, Lisa London, picked some of the best to come in for Alexandra and Nicole Weider and I to look at. And Vanessa Merrill came in, and the first thing she told us was just how much the storyline resonated with her, and specifically showing the pressure of someone that is a social media star. Because our villain, Katie Sharp, is a social media star.
Mm-hmm.
That's her job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mom says, it's your job, honey, you know, to her at one point. And so Vanessa really, really resonated with that and said that just the idea of showing love to the bully was so important to her, too. Like the idea, not that I think she relates to that directly, but just that it's important that... you know, that we love everyone.
Absolutely.
It's really true.
And that's a good note to end on. John Graham. John K.D. Graham, director of Switched. Again, it's at MyCon Chippewa Falls in Eau Claire. Check it out. But again, as you mentioned, Caleb, multiple streaming platforms as well. So,
John, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Show today.
Thank you, Caleb and Mark. I really appreciate it. It's been great.
Go out and
see
Switched.
Switch, guys.
There you go.
Sorry, well, I stole your line. See, look, I can't help it. I'm directing
all of you. Got the message in stereo. Thank you, John. Switch right now at Micon Cinemas Eau Claire in Chippewa Falls.